will be, and what a day this is to be able to come together and worship God and sing together like that. What a wonderful day. May God help us to not take our wonderful blessings for granted. Today is a special day in some ways. Those of you that are university students realize that this next week is a very special week, a difficult week in some ways, but also special. Some of you will be graduating, some of you will be leaving us, maybe not to be here again except to visit with us. And on behalf of the church here at Henderson, I want to say to all of you students how much we appreciate you, how much we appreciate having you in our midst tonight, and any time that you can be with us. I think it would be appropriate to take the time to stop and have a special prayer for our students as they face their finals and some of them graduation and leaving and going in other directions. I'd like for Brother Gary McKnight, one of our elders who especially works with younger people, to come and lead us in a special word of prayer at this time.
Pray. Father in heaven, we are so thankful that we can call you our Father. And we're so thankful that we have this family here in Henderson, the brothers and sisters that we can rely on in times of need, in times of trial, we can laugh with in times of happiness. Father, at this time, we want to pray for those that are involved in the finals that will be coming up, all the students here on campus, especially that are here this evening. Father, as we think about the things that lay ahead for them in this next week, sometimes we fear what's getting ready to happen. As we look beyond that, we are very happy that we'll be finished with this semester. And Father, we pray for each one of the ones that are here, that as they study to finish up these finals, that they will not just study for the finals, but they will have studied all this semester to learn the things that they should in order to become better human beings, to become better equipped to do the things that they're doing in their related fields. Father, I want to thank you for each one of them, for the life, for the excitement that they add to a university congregation here. Father, I pray for each one of those that will be graduating in this next week. As they finish up, it's a time of unknown for them, many of them. And Father, I pray that you will guide their paths, guide their steps as they go from this day on. And that as they go on, that they'll not ever forget you. Help them to center their lives around you, your precepts, the things that they've learned on campus here, in their Bible classes. Father, help us as those of us that are older to be an example to them, to welcome them back anytime they come back. Father, most of all, I pray that you will not only be with them, but with all of us as we try to be more like Jesus. And help us to look to him as our example. Father, we love you. We love what you did for us in sending your son. Forgive us of the things we've done wrong, Father, things that we've thought wrong, things that we should have done that we didn't. Help us to see the opportunities you set before us and take advantage of those to glorify your name. And it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Gary. Several times already tonight, we've used the word special. And whether you'd ever thought about it or not, but that's the root word of one of the words that's in the passage that was read earlier tonight, especially. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That verse could be used as a text to lead us in several different directions, and many wonderful lessons could be brought from that verse. But tonight I want us to concentrate on that word especially, and particularly the part of it that says special. It is important for each of us to have special friends. It is important for each of us to have special people whom we can love and from whom we can receive love in a very special way. And I think it is especially important tonight that we emphasize this at a time when some of our university students, for example, will be going different ways and maybe will be separated from each other for a period of time. When this lesson is over, I want you to carry with you two basic ideas. One is, it is okay to have special friends. And number two, there are different levels of love and friendship. It is true that we are, in one sense of the word, supposed to treat everybody alike. God is not a respecter of persons. And yet, in some ways, God is a respecter of persons because He has said that the righteous will be saved and the unrighteous will be lost. He has said that there are certain types of people that will receive His approval and others that will receive His condemnation. God is not a respecter of persons in giving all of us opportunities and wanting all of us to be saved and sending His Son for all of us. And yet there are different types of relationships even with God and with Christ. In order to be like Christ, there is a sense in which we ought not to be respecter of persons. We ought not to change the attitude that we have toward anyone for something that that person cannot control, where he grew up, the type of the circumstances, his background, his situation today. And yet there is a sense in which there are some things that as Christians we respect more than other things, and because of that, there are going to be some people whom we respect more than others, and maybe some that we do not respect very much at all because of the kind of lives that they live. It is okay to have special friends. And I would guess that most of us here tonight understands what that means. I remember when I was growing up and down through the years that the phrase has been used, bosom friends. And I think the reason for that is that maybe it came from the idea that a mother will cradle her child to her bosom, and there is a sense in which we cradle each other to ourselves in a special way when we have those very special friends. Psychiatrists, psychologists, therapists, counselors will all in unison say to us that every person needs to have at least one special friend to whom he can say anything and in whom he can confide anything. And I think most of them would tell us that if we do not have that special friend, or in some instances more than one, that we will suffer because of that. Proverbs 18:24 says, "He that would have friends must show himself friendly." I think even in that verse is an indication that there are different levels of friendship. We want to have friends, and yet at the same time, we want to be friendly to all people. It is important, it seems, based upon these passages and just from observation and maybe experience, it is important for us to have some special friends. It is important for us to have many additional friends, and it is important for us to try to be friendly to everybody. But I would suggest to you that there are some people to whom we are friendly, We try to reach out. We try to do what we can to help who are not really our friends in the same sense that other people are our friends. Jesus had some special friends. Certainly, Jesus was friendly to everyone and tried to reach out to every person that he met. And he had a circle of friends that included many people at different times and in different ways. But the apostles were especially close to him. And if you remember, even among the apostles, there were three of them that seemed to have a very special relationship with Jesus. He never apologized for that. When he went to the Mount of Transfiguration, why did he take Peter, James, and John and not take the others? When he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, taking all of them part of the way, why did he take Peter, James, and John a little bit farther into the garden? When he went to the house of Jairus and eventually raised his daughter from the dead, why did he take Peter, James, and John with him? That's three of the apostles. Why didn't he take all of them? I would conclude from that there were some times and some ways in which Jesus was especially close to those three. And he never apologized for that. That doesn't mean that he loved the other nine any less. That doesn't mean that he appreciated those others any less. And it doesn't mean that he wasn't concerned about his disciples that were not apostles. He was there to do anything he could for everyone, but he had some special relationship, perhaps that you and I will never understand completely, with Peter, James, and John. And Jesus seemed to have a very special relationship with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He went into different homes to visit and to eat. We have a record of many of those. But it just seems that there was a special tie between Jesus and those two sisters and that brother, that he liked to go to Bethany and be in their home, as recorded in different places, especially Luke chapter 10 and 11, and John chapter 11 and 12. It was among those friends that we get the lessons that have to do with priorities and doing the work in the house and having the relationship to Jesus. It's in that setting that we see the wonderful tribute that was given by Mary to Jesus, and his explanation to Martha and others as to why that was important. It is in that circle of friends that we see Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead and seeing the love, the special love that he had for Lazarus that caused him to be described in that little verse that is so often quoted, Jesus wept. Jesus had some special friends. And then he had a larger circle of friends. And then he tried to be friendly to all people. And I believe that's the way we need to be today, and that we need not ever apologize for having special friends. Let's try to treat everybody right. Let's try to be a friend to anyone at any time we can, but it is important to have special friends. And those of you that are students have special friends that mean so much to you. Don't forget to thank God for the value of a special friend. And then to thank him for the value of all the friends that you have and for the opportunity to reach out, make additional friends, and to be friendly to all people. Somewhat along this line, switching from the word friend to the word love, we need to understand that there are different levels of love. Occasionally, I've heard someone say, well, you know, the Bible teaches me to love my enemy. I've got to love my enemy just like I love my brothers in Christ, and I must love my enemy just like I love my family. I don't believe that's what the Bible teaches. I don't believe that for a moment. I remember one man saying one time that if a fellow were to break into my house and began to harm my wife and my children, I wouldn't lift a finger to do anything against him because I'm to love my enemies. I don't think that man understood what the Word of God says on the subject of love. There are levels of love, folks. And that's what's being taught there, I think, in that verse that says, let us do good unto all people. And we would not do damage to that by saying, let us love all people, but especially those who are of the household of faith. There is a special type of love that we're to have for special people. And there is no conflict that will come between any two of these or among all of them if we keep it in proper focus. Let me show you what I mean. The Bible teaches very clearly that we are to love God supremely. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Matthew 22, verse 37, and mentioned again in Luke 9. My love for my God is to be supreme. There is to be no higher love. There is no person on this earth that I'm to love like I'm to love my God, and like you are to love God. We are to love God supremely. But the Bible teaches me that I'm to love my wife sacrificially, and she is to love me in that same way. Ephesians 5, for example, very clearly states that a husband is to love his wife as his own body. And it states, as you really look at all that's said there, that he's to love her to where he would be willing to give his life for her. I believe the Bible teaches that that love that a man is to have for his wife and a woman is to have for her husband ought to be so high a level that each would be willing to die for the other. But that's still not at the level of love that we have for God. I am to love my wife sacrificially if she will let me love my God supremely. And if my wife were to start telling me that I could not love God, that I could not read His Word, and especially if a husband were to command his wife not to go to worship God, and even approach it from the standpoint, you are to love me, you're to give yourself to me, and therefore if you love me, you won't do these things, then that person has a problem of not being able to love God supremely. Because you see, the love we're to have for God is the only love that is higher than the love we're to have for a spouse. But it is a higher love. I am to love my God supremely. I am to love my wife sacrificially as long as she will let me love my God supremely. And then I am to love my brethren in the church in a very special way, with a special love. And don't ever apologize for the fact that there is a tie that binds us in Christ that is different from the ties that bind us in other ways. Yesterday, I worked from 6 o'clock in the morning till 1 o'clock in the afternoon with those that are members of the Lions Club in cooking stew and selling stew to raise money to be able to do things as a project in the community. I have a lot of respect for the men and women that are in that club. There are some people in the club that are not members of the Lord's church. One in particular is a very close friend of mine. I have a tremendous respect for him. I enjoy being with those people. I enjoyed being with them yesterday. I enjoyed being with them last Monday night when we had our Christmas get-together. But it's not on the level with what we have in Christ. In a setting like this, among brothers and sisters in Christ, there is a special love that we're to have for each other. And there is even a special way in which we are to treat each other. Read chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians that's talking about benevolent work and bringing funds together to reach out to help other people. And you'll find over in the latter part of the 9th chapter that he says we are to use this first to serve the saints, and then all men. Our first concern is to be in the church of our Lord, because there is a special tie that binds us. If we don't believe that, why do we sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds," and sing about being bound together in Christ as brothers and sisters in Christ? I am to have a special love for my brothers and sisters in Christ as long as they will let me have the sacrificial love for my wife and the supreme love for my God. And then it is to reach out to our neighbors in the community who may not be Christians, but people who are a part of the area where we live and the circumstances that are involved in our lives each day. And in that sense, there is a self-denying love that we're to have even to our neighbors. The second great commandment in Matthew 22 was, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." I have neighbors, some of whom are not members of the body of Christ, some who are not in this audience tonight. And yet, if I were to get a call tonight at midnight that one of them needed some help and I could do something for them, I think I'd do my best to try to respond, and I think you would do the same thing. And yet that love that I have for them is not the same kind of love that I have for those that are in Christ or those that are in my own immediate family. I'm to love my neighbors as long as they will let me love my brethren, love my wife, and love my God. And then there is even the teaching that I'm to love my enemies, which is one of the hardest commandments, in my opinion, that is given in the Word of God. Matthew 5:44, love your enemies. The Good Samaritan of Luke 10 perhaps understood that as well as anyone about whom we read in the Word of God. Someone who might have even talked about him in a derogatory way needed help, and he reached out to help him. Even someone who might offend us or do something against us is deserving of our concern and our wishing that person the very best in life that is possible. Explained particularly in Romans 12:20-21 as a situation where we are to do good for evil, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good, reaching out to do good and reaching out to show love even to those who are our enemies. But folks, that's not on the same level with these other loves. And if my enemy will not accept what I can do to love him and allow me to love my neighbor in a self-denying way, love my brethren in a special way, love my wife in a way of sacrifice, and love my God supremely, I have to consider those other levels first. There are levels of love. And we ought never to apologize for accepting and promoting those highest levels of love. I don't apologize to you for putting my wife before anybody else in this audience, because there is a type of love that I have for her that I don't have for anybody else in this audience. And I don't apologize to you for putting my love for God above my love for anybody else, any person. But there doesn't have to be a conflict if we can put all these things in focus and keep our priorities straight. There are levels of friendship, and there are levels of love. We have special friends. We look to have many, many other friends, and we look to be friendly to every people, to all people. We are to love God supremely. We're to love our spouse sacrificially. We're to love our brethren in a special way. We're to love our neighbors in a self-denying way. And we're to love even our enemies in a way of service to them. There are levels of love and levels of friendship. And we ought to take the time to thank God for those wonderful friends that we have in the school situation, the family situation, in the community, in Christ, and keep that in focus. And it is interesting that Jesus uses both the word friend and the word love in telling us what he wants us to do to love him and to be his friend. Remember John 14, 15 and 15, 14. Good way to remember them. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And John 15, 14 says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. He uses love in one of the passages, friends in the other one. And in both instances, he said, I just want you to do what I've commanded you. I just want you to do what I've told you to do. And that's the best way to carry out and appreciate all these different levels of love and friendship, is just to do what God has told us to do. For some of you tonight, that means coming to be baptized into Christ. For some, that means coming to get your life straight with Christ, asking for forgiveness. Do you love God? Are you a friend of Christ? He said, if you are, do what I've commanded you. If you need to do that, come as together we stand and sing.